The following podcast is part one of a three-part series entitled My Story by Catherine Campbell. For more information, please visit catherine-campbell.com.
We ask questions about lots of different things, and certainly when you've children in the house, sometimes you think, are they never going to stop asking questions? They ask about this and they ask it again and again and again. But we all ask questions. And I think if we're honest, there are some questions that we ask, and if we don't ask them with our lips, then perhaps we have asked them in our head or from our heart. There's the questions about heartache, about suffering. There's the questions about disappointment, that things didn't go the way you thought they should have gone. And there are so many things that can trouble us and can disturb our peace. But God is a God who likes to hear our questions, because he's able to answer those questions. And what I want to do is, I want to us in this little bit of time before the coffee break, just to look at three questions that I believe, if you're absolutely honest here today, you'll have asked maybe all three of them, like I have, or maybe just one of them. The questions are very simple. Is God there? Is God fair? Does God care? And that's the title of our morning. Does God care? Is God there? Is God fair? Does God care? Now, I have to admit that the questions came from Jill Briscoe's book, little book running on empty on the studies of Habakkuk. The questions I have pinched, but the material is all my own, and I think those questions have probably been asked and used by many different writers and also by many different speakers as well. So then, is God there? I want to read a few verses. We're having a little look in a little book that you dread people, the minister announcing in church, because you think to yourself, oh, maybe you spoke in Armagh, I have no problem. Where is it, you think to yourself? We're going to the book of Habakkuk. And the book of Habakkuk, if you come and go to the very end of the Old Testament, it's just the fifth book back from the end of the Old Testament, the book of Habakkuk, and I'll be using some different verses for it as we go along. And I'm just going to read the first five verses of Habakkuk chapter 1. And if you can't find it, there's an index in the front of your Bible, and you should never be ashamed to use the index. So the book of Habakkuk chapter 1. And as you're finding it, I'll just start to read a few verses. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. Why should you and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds. And then God answers and he says, look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. And I'm just going to stop there. We'll be referring to a few other verses as we go through. Is God there? The book of Habakkuk is just three chapters long, and I hope after this morning you'll take it with a cup of coffee some morning and you'll have a wee look at these chapters and have a wee think about some of the things that we're going to look at. But the book of Habakkuk is a conversation, really. It's a conversation between the prophet and God. And Habakkuk, as you can see from these first four verses in particular, and like, let's face it, those verses could have been written today just as easily as they were written a few thousand years ago. But Habakkuk is deeply disturbed about Israel's sin, and he's also deeply disturbed by the surrounding international crisis that is gathering around the borders of Israel. So he's praying, and he's praying, and he's praying, and he's pleading, because you know very well that that's what he's doing, because he says in verse 2, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you will not hear? How long shall I cry, and you will not hear? And you can almost see Habakkuk in the frustration in those first few verses, and it's almost as if he's saying, are my prayers going any higher than the ceiling? Are you up there, Lord? Can you hear me, Lord? Why don't you answer me? Habakkuk is disturbed in these first few verses by God's seeming inactivity. And then, as if to make matters worse, when God does answer, it's not the answer that Habakkuk wants. And it's certainly not the answer that Habakkuk expects. From verse 5 on, we read of God's response. I read you that first section of God's response when he talks about, look among the nations and watch, be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. And then he does go on to tell Habakkuk what he's going to do. And he goes on to say to Habakkuk, okay, I hear you. I see the sin of the nation. I see what's happening around the borders, and this is what I'm going to do. He says, the Babylonians or the Chaldeans, depending which translation you're reading from, it's the same people group. The Babylonians are going to come in the land and they're going to wreak absolute havoc. There's going to be disaster, Habakkuk. And this is the answer to the prayer of this man who's pleading for God to intervene. And God intervenes in a way that he doesn't want, in a way that he certainly doesn't expect. I wonder if your prayers have ever been answered like that. I wonder, have you been praying for something, and it seems to be the more you pray, either you think that God isn't listening to you, or when he does answer you, the answer that you get is certainly not the answer that you want, and it's certainly not the answer that you expect. And you know, the more I think about this, the more I also think that this is the big lesson in prayer. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes, in fact, very often when I get down to pray, I already know the way I want God to answer my prayer. So I don't just give him the request, I give him the answer as well. So is it any wonder I'm glad there's a ripple there, because I think there's other people identify with that. You know, sometimes we tell God what to do in answer to the circumstance that we're in. And then is it any wonder that we're disappointed when a different road has to be gone through before we see God's hand in the whole situation? Is God there? On the 2nd of August in 1979, our first child was born. We had a little girl and we named her Cheryl. Well, actually, her daddy named her Cheryl. I had never heard the name before, but apparently Cheryl means darling. And so he thought she was his little darling. Aww. And so Cheryl was born, and you can imagine the excitement. You know, I always think about the birth of a child. You know, you wouldn't think there were millions of us in this world, because one baby can literally turn a family upside down, and you think you're the only ones ever had a baby before. And you can imagine that when Cheryl was born, we were just over the moon. She was our first child. She was the first grandchild on both sides of the family. And at that time, we were living north of Belfast, and I can assure you, ladies, every pink frilly dress in the whole of Northern Ireland was crammed into this little wardrobe that we had bought from Mothercare at that time in our wee flat. And oh, such a wardrobe there was there, and the excitement was absolutely amazing. But Cheryl's development was rather slow, and in just 7 short months, we sat in front of a paediatrician who literally turned our lives upside down, because he said these words that echoed in my heart day after day. He said, Mrs. Campbell, don't you realise that your little girl is handicapped? She will never be normal. She will never be normal. Have you ever had one of those headaches, you know, when you're walking and your head's sore and it throbs with the pace of your walk, or it throbs with the beat of your heart? I went to bed with those words every night. I woke up with those words every morning. She will never be normal. Our beautiful blue-eyed blonde wouldn't be like other little girls. And I can honestly tell you that day, my world literally fell apart. Up until this time, my life had been calm. Well, as calm as it can be when you're married to an evangelist and you're running the countryside doing coffee bars and involved in ministry and all of the other things. But we were so deliriously happy. It just was such a shock to us. You know, we were serving God. And as far as I was concerned, this shouldn't happen to somebody like me. And so I just couldn't believe what was happening. My husband was working as an evangelist. I'd finished my midwifery training, and we really had our eyes set on the foreign mission field. We were just waiting for the Lord just to direct us that way. And so you can imagine when this happened, it was as if all of the Campbell's dreams, and all for ourselves as a couple, and all of the dreams that we had for this little child just seemed to just go right through our fingers at that time. And so I was absolutely devastated. And so I prayed, and we prayed, and everybody prayed. And there were prayer meetings all over the country, and everybody was praying for Cheryl. And my husband worked with an organization that was throughout the UK as well. And I remember so clearly the day that I stood in the middle of a group of 14 evangelists as they laid their hand on this baby and prayed that God would heal her. And I believed that he could. I believed that he could. And we just asked that her little brain would grow. And you know what? Nothing happened. Nothing changed. And I can remember at times saying, God, do you not hear our prayers? Are you up there, Lord? Do you care about me? Do you care about Cheryl? All of those questions went through my heart and through my mind. And then one night, a short time after that, my husband was away conducting a mission in England at the time. And Cheryl was fast asleep, totally oblivious to all the heartache that was going on around her. She was still our beautiful little blue-eyed blonde. The only thing she could ever do well, and it only lasted for a couple of years, was to smile. And it didn't matter even if her mummy was crying. She smiled anyway because she didn't know what it was all about. And she was such a delight in our lives. And I put her to bed that night. And I had gone to bed and I pleaded with God again, God, will you hear me? I don't understand what you're doing in my life, but you can turn this around. And so I prayed and I prayed. And that night, into the physical darkness of the room and the emotional darkness of my life, God crept in. One of those special moments when I nearly felt that his presence was so real that if I'd pulled the duvet cover down, I could have touched him, I could have seen him. His presence was so real in the room. And you know what he did that night? He used some verses that I had read shortly after I became a Christian when I was 14 years of age. Some verses that many of you ladies will know very well here. Verses from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. And these were the verses that he whispered to my heart that night. He says, but now thus says the Lord, who created you, he who formed you, fear not. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, Catherine. Oh, ladies, God knows your name. I have called you by your name, Catherine. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. And you know, ladies, I was absolutely astounded as God spoke to my heart. The peace that flooded the room was tangible. And I felt, as I said, that I never needed to ask the question again, is God there? Because God was right there with me in that room at that moment in such a way as I had never experienced before. I knew that God was there, and I knew that he'd heard my prayer. The only thing was, it wasn't the answer I wanted. It wasn't the answer that I had expected. Because God was talking about waters of difficulty. He was talking about rivers of heartache. He was talking about the fire of suffering that lay ahead. All of these things that said, you know what, Catherine, pain is part of the human package. Bad things happen. Bad things happen. But the overwhelming thing that he said to me that night was, I will be with you. That was God's promise in my life, my first rainbow, as I would call it nearly. And he said to me, it doesn't matter what's going to happen. Don't be afraid to walk with me because I'm going to be right there with you. It's been a long time ago now. It's more than a quarter of a century. And if anybody says to me, is there really a God there? Does he really hear my prayer? I can shout out at the top of my voice, yes, with a resounding yes, God is there. And God hears your prayer. And that's not just true for Catherine Campbell. That's true for every single one of you in this room who are prepared to trust him and take him at his word. He will walk with you, whatever the circumstances are.